How is one to know God, to understand Him, to learn of Him? How do I know that God loves me? What must we do to inherit eternal life? How does one go from being unrighteous to righteous? How does one bridge the gap between God's law and God's love? An answer that many humans have come up with is just do it. Get to it. Be perfect. Go. Fulfill the law. If you do it, God will love you. Many a person has puffed up their ego and confessed that they themselves had overcome sin. But they're either lying to themselves and they know it, so they're really just lying to others, or they're lying to themselves and believing the lie. Pride will go before their fall. And their fall is hard, it's a hard one, toward despair. If it's up to us to fulfill the works of the law, who of us is doing it? Who of us can do it? There is the scriptural way, and it is the way of the cross. It is the way that St. Paul proclaimed in the epistle reading. He decided to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Worldly wisdom was cast aside by Paul for the paradoxical and lowly things of God. Man could never come up with it. The Holy Spirit, who alone is able to plumb the depths of the Father and the Son, as He has the same essence, the Holy Spirit comprehends and reveals God in Christ the crucified. Here is the wisdom of God which challenges, undermines, and far exceeds our earthly wisdom. The law of God, which is good and wise and perfect, cannot advance human beings on their way to righteousness. Rather, it hinders us. This teaching goes against the grain of our old Adam. We can see this with every single world religion, and this religion of the law has slipped into other denominations in Christendom. You've got to do something. There must be some decision or autonomous movement toward God, so that through God's grace, this supposedly non-meritorious movement, of course, could be extrinsically regarded by God as meriting salvation. Either you don't put up your wall, or you just make a step, maybe just a teeny tiny step toward God, or maybe God's the one who leads you to that cliff, and all you have to do is jump off. Or maybe you're drowning in the depths of the sea, and He has His hand reached out toward you, and all that you must do is grab hold. It's the wisdom of the world. It's a theology that denies what St. Paul wrote in our epistle, that no eye has seen this, nor heart of man imagined it. It's a theology that denies what John wrote in chapter 1 of his gospel. We are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Human beings are completely, completely unable to make any movement toward God. We cannot approach God through our rational or moral resources. We aren't born neutral. We aren't born good. To be born this way, a song we may hear during a halftime today, to be born this way is not a good thing. We're conceived and born in sin, and we're corrupt sinners seeking sin and sinning. God's law doesn't save here. It won't make any of us righteous, even though in and of itself God's law is perfect. The righteousness of God is made manifest apart from the law. When the law comes in, trespass multiplies. Sin seems to be revived. We must confess in line with God's word, even if what He says goes against the grain of our old Adam flesh and mind. We are not born good or neutral. We don't and we can't move toward God. And God isn't the one who was lost and we have to go about finding Him or coming to Him. The Christian faith is not about practicing law so that by the mere routine or habit, we'll finally show God that we really do love Him, even though we mess up a lot, aw shucks. And because of our efforts, fallible as they may be, he should just do the nice thing and overlook our wickedness and sin. The wisdom of this world tempts our old Adams and Eves. It's tempting to look at others and judge ourselves relatively, to think that God somehow grades on a curve. The world desires a scale of good works. Good works, of course, outweighing the bad, or maybe just that our good motives were enough. But what does Christ say of the Pharisees? What does God's word say about how God is pleased? How are our hearts cleansed, made new? Do they even need to be made new? Are our hearts cleansed by us trying an attempt? Well, the Pharisees tried, and they certainly appeared to be do-gooders. But God does not judge according to appearances, but he searches the mind and the heart. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. No one living is righteous before God. All who rely on works of the law remain under a curse. Our pathetic attempts don't earn us sympathy grace from God as some booster that we can then use to go and fulfill his law. Christ crucified is the righteousness of God. It's a wonderful Epiphany message as we near the season's close. We aren't left to ourselves to decipher or crack the code of how God is pleased. This isn't some National Treasure movie and we're out to find his righteousness. We aren't told to go find the love of God. We aren't sent on some works-based scavenger hunt for God's favor. We have no ability to make any movement toward God. Instead, it's the Holy Spirit who brings Christ the crucified to you. And in the cross of Christ, we see true theology, true wisdom from above. The law of God is this brutal teacher that leads us to confess that we have no righteousness of our own. So how can we be righteous then? How can God love us if we don't earn it? Jesus. That's how. Christ the crucified. He's how. A person is righteous not because he or she works much. A person is righteous who without works believes much in Christ. The righteousness of God is imparted by faith. For the one who is righteous shall live by faith. One is declared righteous, justified by faith without works of the law, so that no one can boast. No one can stand up and say, I did it, except Christ the crucified. The law says, do this, and it's never done by any of us. The gospel says, believe this one Jesus Christ who fulfilled the law declaring it is finished when he was crucified and died in your place for you. The gospel says, believe this one, and everything has already been done. We should not think of God apart from Christ's cross. If we're just left to creation, or our thoughts, or our ways, or supposed direct revelations which loose the Holy Spirit from the Word, then we'll just be building towers of Babel. It'll be a self-centered religion and a guessing game as to, and it honestly in the end should be filed in a library under fiction. In the Christian church, the non-fiction truth of Christ crucified is proclaimed. God works in unexpected, lowly, humble ways. We see his backside, for we sinners can't look upon his face and live. We can't look upon his unveiled glory and tolerate it as the unholy. So, God is merciful and gracious. And he still epiphanies, reveals himself to us. We behold God's power and weakness. In his word, we behold God born in our flesh. We see God in anguish in the garden. We see God bleeding because men were whipping him. We see God pinned to the tree. We see God dying and giving his last breath while insults and spit are hurled at him. The backside. The visible Jesus shows us the Father. The cross is the glory. In weakness, there is strength. And so as we despair of ourselves, we find ourselves most blessed to receive strength, power, love, and favor from God. The theology of the cross calls things what they really are and isn't deceived by appearances, especially that which looks lowly, especially that which is despised by the world. Veiled glory. Beholding God in that which is low and despised in this world. Not lofty speech or wisdom, but through the words which are spirit and life and true power. How can we not see the Lord's lowly yet magnificent working then in word and water in holy baptism? How can we not almost have a little chuckle, not at God, but with him, that God sends pathetic, sinful, quirky men to proclaim his gospel and shepherd his people with his word? How can we not just grin a little bit in joy when we see just how common it is that the word of absolution is said, and truly, really, sins are forgiven, and the devil screams in terror? How can we not be brought to tears, or at least have joy inexpressible, as a small wafer and a sip with the word bring you Christ's crucified body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, for life and salvation? This is how God reveals himself to you, and we not only know him, but trust him. Christ crucified and made manifest in word and sacrament shows you quite clearly that he loves you. God loves you. He forgives you and gives you eternal life. He has made the unrighteous righteous. The gap between God's law and God's love is bridged by Christ the crucified. Amen.